In just a couple of days, Maharashtra will be voting in a critical assembly elections. What's going to happen over there? Has the wind, in a sense, been taken out of the sails of the opposition after the results in Haryana and the poor performance, for example, of the Congress party in Jammu and Kashmir? The opposition, of course, says that Maharashtra is a very different story. So they're going to perform well, is what they're saying. But today there's been a Congress-BJP war which has erupted over advertisements ahead of the assembly elections in Maharashtra and Jharkhand, which is also going to polls. The Prime Minister's catchphrase, Ek Hai Toh Safe Hai, has now turned into a poll campaign by the BJP with full-fledged ads across newspapers in Maharashtra. Now, the Congress has hit out calling it communal, while the BJP has highlighted the Congress's ads dating back to 1984, alleging that it exposes their doublespeak on the entire issue of caste. Well, joining us now, Shahida ANC. She's been a BJP leader in the past, but is now contesting these elections with the Shiv Sena Shinde faction. Thank you very much, Shahida, for being with us. You know, opposition parties in Maharashtra have criticized Prime Minister Modi's slogan, Ek Hai Toh Safe Hai. For example, Sanjay Raut of the Shiv Sena, the Uddhav Balasaheb Thackeray group, has said that this was a strategy of division, which would be rejected as being a part of your divisive politics or divisive politics of your alliance. How would you respond?
Who takes Sanjay Raut seriously is the first question. I mean, the master of divisiveness has been the Ubata Sena. And look at their appeasement politics. I mean, they've forgotten their entire Hindutva ideology and they have chosen to align with the Congress party for the lust for power. And what are they doing, Vishnu? They are consolidating their own Muslim and Dalit vote bank, and that is their claim to fame. So the less said, the better. On the other hand, you have a statesman like Prime Minister Narendra Modi ji, who says that yes, anekta mein ekta, but we should all be united and stand as one. If you look at all the welfare schemes that he has proposed, as well as the Chief Minister of Maharashtra, none of them divide people. If at all, they include every section and segment of society. When there is an Ujjwala or a Jandhan or an Ayushman Bharat or any scheme, it's not divisive on basis of caste, creed, culture. You take Maharashtra, the most popular scheme has been Ladki Behna Yojana. And our chief minister has given 2.5 crore women 7,500 rupees directly in their bank account. You take my own constituency like Mumba Devi, of 40,000 women, 15,000 are Muslim women. Where is the question of discrimination? So it is ekta, it is oneness, it is taking everyone along.
But I must agree, you know, at the same time in this ad war, why do you believe that there's been historical hypocrisy by the Congress on issues like caste-based reservations? Do they have different narratives at different times for political gain?
The Congress has only had different narratives, but all of which are lies. Please understand, at this juncture, even if you see what the Home Minister said in Buldhana, when Mr. Kharge said that, oh, you know, we are here to give you guarantees and we promise to adhere to it, what has the Congress party done, be it a Telangana, a Himachal, a Haryana, or even, for that matter, Karnataka? They haven't lived up to any of the promises. And if at all, the Maha Vinash Agadi, as I'd like to call them, they call themselves Vikas Agadi. Look at their entire testimonial. It is only based on freebies, subsidies, SOPs. First criticizing Ladki Behen Yojana, saying that the state doesn't have money, and then saying, we'll give you double that, which is 3,000 rupees. So look at the hypocrisy. So it is a bunch of lies. It is appeasement politics. And it is, to my mind, nothing but, just hanging fruit in front of you and saying that, oh, we're giving this to you, but that fruit doesn't even belong to you, and neither does the mandate of the people of Maharashtra.
But China, on seat sharing, the BJP strategy involved contesting a very high number of seats, I think 150 to 160 seats, which meant negotiating fiercely within the alliance. And that's not been a very easy process, has it? There's been a fair amount of competition within your alliance. There have been a lot of protests. Isn't that deeply problematic as you try and reach out to people?
See, I totally believe in a disciplined cadre and a disciplined leadership. That has been shown to one and all. And if you look at even the functioning of the Honorable Prime Minister, the Chief Minister Eknath Shindeji and Devendra Fadnavis as well as Ajit Pawarji, there's been a sense of maturity. No unnecessary statements and all in cohesion. Now you look at the opposite side, you have Mr. Sanjay Raut saying he will not have a meeting, or Mr. Uddhav Thackeray saying they will not even talk to Nana Patole. Nana Patole being absolutely dumbstruck, and then you have the Congress taking every decision from Delhi, and you have to that Mr. Pawar adding his own thing. So there's no synergy there except lust for power, which the people of Maharashtra see. So these kind of analysis to say that, oh, you are fighting so many seats, and you are, look at the strike rate of our Shiv Sena, where Eknath Shindeji in Lok Sabha had the highest strike rate. So having said that, I think it's...
No, but China, there are problems. For example, all over, Ratnagiri, Sindhudurg, Satara, Mumbai South and Northwest, Palghar, there have been major seat-sharing difficulties. Do you not believe that, you know, this could be problematic for your alliance in an election?
No, I don't think there's any problem. No, there's no problem at all.
No, but could you tell us a little bit about why that is the case?
No, see, these problems that you talk about is part of an aspiration. I mean, everyone has aspirations in public life and everyone wants to fight elections. There can be a certain kind of, I would not say there's more than 10% of any kind of question mark vis-a-vis few seats. And even there, there has been consensus where people, like you even talked about, you know, like for example, Gopal Shetty, who was going to fight independent, he withdrew, as did others. So I don't think there is any kind of question vis-a-vis the contenders or the seats that we are fighting.
Shaina, the decision by Ajit Pawar's faction of the Nationalist Congress Party to give a ticket to Nawab Malik, who's been linked to serious allegations, including alleged ties to Dawood Ibrahim, has sparked a huge controversy. The BJP has publicly distanced itself from campaigning for him. Where does your party stand?
So I don't think that this is something that I need to comment on or would like to comment on. The BJP has clearly said they will not campaign for him, and that is the stand. Yes, in the larger scheme of things, there can be one odd stray case where you have certain areas where there are question marks of who the contender is and what the view on the alliance is. But as they say, mota moti, everything is fine. And let me please give you some good news, Vishnu. This is the alliance that is going to win. We will come back to power. The Mahayuti will be back with a bang. And I'm sure it will be only in the interest of the people of Maharashtra, because we're all eventually sevaks of the state.
You know, we were talking about Ajit Pawar a little while back. Now, Ajit Pawar has claimed that he was shown a file by the then Chief Minister Devendra Fadnavis recommending an open inquiry into an alleged irrigation scam against him. I think he made this remark on the 1st of November. This was seen as a form of coercion or blackmail by the BJP to bring him into the National Democratic Alliance fold. You know, so in terms of your alliance, you know, if you've got narratives like this emerging, again, is that not a problem?
I don't want to get into any speculation. I have had enough of, you know, kind of questions vis-a-vis controversies, and I'm here to work. I want to stay the course and not be involved in who said what and, you know, conspiracy theories, which kind of make media headlines. But I think that the eventual thing is I'm here for the people of Mumbai Devi, and I'm here to serve them, and I will continue to stay the path. I've always believed that in public life, you have to be above board and you have to have that integrity. That's when people respect you. That's when people accept you. And this is my piece, irrespective of your question, saying that I am a clean, clear candidate and the NC in my name will always be non-corruptible, and I'm here to work towards that. And with our party leaders, Eknath Shindeji, Devendra Fadnavis and Ajit Pawar, and of course the RPI, I think that the sky is the limit when it comes to developmental politics.
All right, Shaina. Well, good luck to you and thank you very much for joining us this evening. Thanks very much indeed. Well, joining us now, Rakesh Shetty, the Mulund candidate and working president of the Maharashtra Pradesh Congress Seva Dal. Thank you very much for being with us, Rakesh ji. You've been very busy on the campaign trail. But let me ask you this. Prime Minister Modi in speeches has critiqued the MVA's focus on a caste census as an attempt to divide communities, contrasting this with the BJP's narrative of ek hai to safe hai. Modi has suggested that such initiatives could be politically motivated rather than aimed at social justice. What is your response?
See, first of all, in last 10 years, Narendra Modi has failed to even do a census. Forget about the caste census, he has failed to do a census, which is very important for a government to do. And in last 10 years, he has not done that. When Rahul Gandhi talks about caste census, he clearly mentions it. We need to know who is there in which caste and what are their rights. Because today, we saw, as soon as the third time Narendra Modi sworn in as Prime Minister, he bought a list of 180 officers as lateral entry without giving an IPS exam or an IAS exam. What is he trying to do? This is what we were opposing throughout the campaign. We were very clear that Narendra Modi doesn't believe in the constitution, and that what he was doing. Because it is very clear and evident that Congress party was saying throughout the campaign. And that what he did, as soon as he formed the government, he brought list of 180 officers.
Okay.
Why did you bring the list of officers without clearing an IPS or an IAS exam?
But tell me one thing.
News channels even don't question the central government on this.
But tell me one thing. In terms of a caste census, how would you respond to those who say that this is just a political slogan? What would you actually do with the data that you have collected? Have you actually announced a plan?
Throughout the life, Bharatiya Janata Party believed in divisive politics or in the basis of religion. Always Bharatiya Janata talks about Hindu politics. Now when Rahul Gandhi is talking about the rights of the deprived, what is harm in that? That's what Dr. Baba Saheb Ambedkar spoke about. Dr. Baba Saheb Ambedkar always believed the people who have deprived of their right should be given reservation. And that's what Rahul ji is talking about. Now let's talk about Maratha Arakshan. Why are we failing to give a reservation to Marathas? The only reason is because the reservation can only come through the constitution. And if you want to give the reservation to Marathas, you need to change the constitution.
No, but Rakesh, you aren't answering my question. I understand the dynamics of caste and reservation in Maharashtra. Maybe we can talk about that. What I'm trying to ask you is, if there is a caste census, right, what plans does the Congress actually have to utilize that? It's one thing to say that you will have a caste census, but how exactly are you going to use it? Have you told the voters that? Can you tell me?
I don't understand why media and the Bharatiya Janata Party has this phobia. Let us do
no,
the
no, no, no phobia.
Census.
I mean, it, no phobia. I'm just Let asking you about how you will use
who
that.
Is being
you don't
benefited
have an answer.
From... Pardon?
I'm asking how you will use that data. I've asked you twice.
That is a part
I'm not.
Of
I'm
sir.
Not saying it's important
first,
or not important.
Let us just start with the caste census. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, let's start the process. Let me move on to my next question. Okay, fair enough. Let's start. After the fall of the MVA government, there have been discussions and disputes regarding who will lead if the MVA were to regain power, if your alliance were to regain power. Is there any clarity on who will be your chief ministerial face if you do win?
Yes, we have a number of leaders here. We have a very successful leader like Uddhav Thackeray. We have Prithviraj Chauhan. We have Nana Patawale, we have Supriya Sule, and the list goes on and on and on.
So it doesn't have to be a Congress candidate?
Pardon?
It doesn't have to be a Congress candidate.
As per the constitution, it is very clear whoever parties has a maximum number of MLAs will choose the chief minister.
Okay, so there is no fight between the parties in your alliance, whoever has the largest
definitely,
number of seats will form the chief
not
minister.
Very
that's
recently,
a pragmatic way forward. Yeah.
No, not at all. Very recently, Uddhav Thackeray ji in his Sabha has clearly said, let us go for the election, fight it out with the Mahayuti, and whichever parties has more MLAs, it is evident their chief minister will be sown in.
Okay, fair
Let
enough.
Let us wait
okay,
till 20.
I've got an answer to that question. Now, the Mahavikas Aghadi, your alliance, has faced internal conflicts over the allocation of seats. Now, for example, the Congress has had a desire to contest, I believe, in 110 seats, and this clashed with the ambitions of your allies like the Shiv Sena UBT. That resulted in some sort of tension within the coalition.
Yeah,
has that been resolved?
Has that been resolved? It is always bound to happen when there is a Democratic Party, because in our alliance, we don't have a dictator like Narendra Modi. In my seat, I am contesting from Mulund Assembly constituency. On the last minute, even NCP had given their candidate, Sangeeta Waze. But amicably, everything ended well.
Okay.
She withdrew in last 15 minutes. So it is bound to happen. We follow a democratic process and we will follow to do that.
A final question. How would you respond to those who say that the Haryana election victory of the BJP and the relatively poor performance of the Congress in Haryana and in Jammu and Kashmir has taken the momentum out of the sails of your party after your strong performance in the Lok Sabha elections?
Haryana and Maharashtra are two different ball games. Now, in Haryana, we had won 5 Lok Sabha seats. BJP has won 5. In Maharashtra, Mahayuti has got 17. Mahavikas Aghadi has got 31. So that was a trailer. On 23rd, you will see a film coming in.
All right, Rakesh ji, good luck to you and all the very best.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much. Same here. Thank you.
Well, joining us now, Sandeep Shastri, National Coordinator of the Lok Neeti Network. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us. Matthew Anthony, National Spokesperson of the Congress. RP Singh of the BJP will be with us in a moment. And my good friend Sanjay Jha on this program as well. Sandeep Shastri, let me come to you first. Obviously, reservations have always been a key part of the election process in Maharashtra. Maratha reservation, OBC consolidation, Dalit and Adivasi support, Muslim and minority votes, etc., etc. But does the complexity of the Maharashtra elections this time around, for these factors and other reasons, actually challenge traditional political analysis and prediction models, which, for example, you may have followed?
Vishnu, the election this time in Maharashtra, as is very clear, is very different. There are new issues, new equations, new perspectives that are coming in. And this is because of the nature of alliances that you see in Maharashtra. Clearly, there is a difference between the strategy of the Mahayuti on the one hand and of the Aghadi on the other. Both talk of social justice, both talk of their own perspectives on social justice, and both are appealing to an audience which believes in the perspective that they stand for. If the Mahayuti is talking about unity as the lens from which to look at social justice, on the other hand, you have the Aghadi emphasizing the importance of recognition of caste identities and justice to caste identities. So I think it's fair that both of them have a chance to make their point and to present their perspective. And in any election season, you will always have the opponent trying to criticize what is said. And that's what politics is about. And at the end of the day, I think both the sides are seeking to influence and in some ways win the support of the voter. And at the end of the day, Vishnu, any election is about politics of perception. The perception of the voter in terms of how much do they see and accept the vision, the mission, and the perspective of the alliance, how much honesty they do see in that, I think is ultimately going to be the clincher and the decider.
Okay.
What is a little unsettling is the language used on both sides to be able to criticize the opponent. I think it's one thing to make your point, and it's another thing to try and use a wrong language to criticize your opponent. And unfortunately, I think both sides have been guilty of trying to use language which is not appropriate in order to justify their stand and in order to criticize the opponent's stand.
Sanjay Jha, you know, there's been this huge increase in the number of candidates per constituency in Maharashtra. In fact, it's been rising since 2004. This time around, there have been candidates of parties, candidates who are rebels, candidates who prop themselves up as independents. Do you believe this could be a real factor in these elections?
I think that was always going to be the BJP's fallback strategy. If you look at the BJP, even in Haryana, they basically propped up rebel candidates because the Congress was seen as the party which would attract the maximum candidates. They were the front runners in Haryana. And the same is happening in Maharashtra. I think that is going to be the decisive factor because the rebels are going to be from all political parties. And as we know, Vishnu, that you've got six political parties and there can be only two candidates per constituency in terms of the coalition. So there are going to be four disaffected individuals whom I think various parties are going to prop up somebody or the other to cut into the votes. So I do feel that's going to be crucial. Let me add one point, though, that I think the BJP is probably making a humongous mistake. And I say so because I live in Mumbai. I've been in Maharashtra for over three decades. Is to assume that all states can follow the same playbook. So when I hear, you know, the Batenge or Ya Katenge model of Uttar Pradesh being tried to force into Maharashtra, I think that will probably boomerang. The citizens of this state are very enlightened. They are largely and have been inclusive. And they will not like to see that kind of sulfuric and sectarian becoming so brazen. As you can see, even in the campaign of the Mahayuti, they say, whatever, ek hai to safe hai. I mean, you know, end of day, is that an admission that we don't want?
All right, Sanjay, one sec. You made lots of points. R.P. Singh, would you like to respond?
Well, what's wrong with ek hai to safe hai? United we stand, divided we fall. English mein bolte to theek hai, Hindi mein bolo to dikkat hai. Hindi bhasha se dikkat hai aapko, Hindu se dikkat hai, Sanatan se dikkat hai, to hai. When you have a problem with all this, you can have your problem, but where does it say that you are talking on caste? It is rather Congress party who has been doing this all these years, that they have been trying to divide country on the caste, color, creed. I mean, even today, they're one of the leaders in Karnataka has named Kumar Swamiji by Kalia as a name, by his color. So, although he says that he's a friend, but I don't know what sort of friend he is, that you make public statement against your friend in that manner. So that's what the Congress has been. I mean, I remember I'm a sufferer of the Congress communal politics because of that. My family members were killed and my sisters and my family members were raped because of that in 1984. They pitched us against the majority community and then they pitched us as we are anti-nation. The sixth, the most nationalist community was pitched as anti-nation. So that's what Congress has been doing throughout. But when PM says, what was this? Ek hai to safe hai. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. We, this country has suffered because we were not united. I mean, Babur invaded and then he could get a way through because we were not united, or for that Ranjit Singh lost his regime because the Sikhs were not united, or for that regard, even Khilji or Durrani came into the third war of Panipat. Durrani conquered us because we were not united. So everyone will have a chance when you are not united. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, and also again, try to put it as a that is a communal thing. Very wrong. I mean, let's understand each and every policy which Modi ji has launched, the beneficiary policies. Almost 30 to 35% beneficiaries are from Muslim community, and the population is just 14 to 15%. So where does we discriminate? I remember in my memory that during Akhilesh Yadav's regime, it was decided whether this village is a Muslim village or a Hindu village, then only the electricity will go. Or for the cut, even Prime Minister Manmohan Singh ji, only God said that the first right of the resources of the country is of Muslims. So they wanted to divide country on religion. Or for their caste or color.
All right. I just want to go across to Matthew Antony of the Congress Party. How would you respond to those who say that the voter is essentially going to be confused? There is a Sena versus Sena battle. There is an NCP versus NCP battle. How is this going to affect voter behavior and the overall political strategy of parties in regions such as Konkan and Mumbai?
Vishnu, in the state of Maharashtra, the Marathi Asmita has been completely insulted by the BJP, engineered by the BJP, by backstabbing two regional parties which has had its origin from the state of Maharashtra. One is of Balasaheb Thackeray and one is of Sharad Chandra Pawar. People of Maharashtra has replied through the ballots during the Lok Sabha elections, and they will reply in the same manner or even more aggressively during the assembly elections. Now, coming to the strategy part of it, as well as, you know, our campaign, our leader Rahul Gandhi has been pressing the caste censuses for certain reasons. Because if you recollect something from the history, 1991 Mandal Commission said that 57% of the country, 52% of the country are OBCs, so 27% reservation has to be done. After 2011, we don't have a proper evaluation of where does this stand. At that point of time, in 1991, we had 3,743 OBC and 2,108 depressed backward classes at that point of time in this country. Now, where do we stand? That is exactly the point which we are trying to do. Then BJP is talking about division. Let us be very clear that it is the Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Amit Shah who is leading this hate campaign or having the factory of the hate by producing 119 hate speeches out of the 170 speeches during the Lok Sabha elections. And they know that, you know, putting the Muslim name in front of it, they are actually guarding themselves from being a culprit for backstabbing the OBC community by keeping them away from the reservations. So when it is made as a Muslim versus Hindu debate, it becomes impulsive, it touches the emotion of the people, it becomes sensitive. But what the BJP is trying to do is to deprive the OBC and to keep, you know, the extreme fundamentalism of Hinduism in that one, and to not to divide the OBCs from their extreme ideology, whereas we are trying to bring social justice, to bring equality. And you know where, you know, the foundation of this is from the constitution itself, where okay. The origin of the reservation is for is due to the agrarian crisis, the unemployment, and the lack of development for
okay, RP Singh wants
it's
to
exactly
reply to that.
To address during this election.
Okay, Mr. Singh, before I go back to Sandeep Shastri.
Very, very small point. I mean, the ulamas wrote a letter, which, demand note, and which has been accepted by both the NCP and Congress party, and which says, Nokiyon aur Shiksha mein 10% Muslim arakshan, 10% reservation for Muslim. I mean, are we talking about this? And not only this, I mean, who's talking about Muslims again? I mean, they said that all those who were involved in the rioting from 2012 to 2024 should be released. And they said all Muslims, not general, but all Muslims should be released. And they have proven that in Karnataka also, that recently they released all those who are involved in writing, specifically Muslims in Karnataka also. That's what the Congress track record is. And again, when we say that no reservation on account of religion, we are trying to defend the reservation for the OBC and the backward and the other category. Because if you moment you give reservation, then we have to be in the bar of 50%. And when you give reservation, then it has to be eaten out of the Scheduled Caste, Scheduled Tribe, or other OBCs.
I raise objection to this comment because we have never said.
Did I have an interpreter, sir? Please. Yeah. I have an interpreter, sir. Please. I heard you. Please. So, and also not that. I mean, as I said, Prime Minister Manmohan Singh has on record that Muslims have first right on resources. Kamal Nath in a closed room has said that no. I mean, vote for us. And he was appealing to Muslims. And also that I have read, it's part of the Google, but it's part of the history also, that Rahul Gandhi has said that we are a Muslim party. And Saffron Tyler.
I refuse to accept that. I have to interrupt because you're making lies. Prime Minister Manmohan Singh has not said about Muslims like that.
I'll send you the video, sir.
He said about different OBCs, including Muslims.
I'm sending you the video. Please play that video. Give me a second.
Both of you settle down. We try not to fight on this program.
Play that video.
Okay, fine. You send the video and that matter will be resolved over there. But I have time for one more question. Sandeep Shastri, the fact of a chief minister, the lack of a chief ministerial candidate in the MVA, do you believe is going to be a potential problem if they end up doing well in this election? That we might end up having a situation when there are going to be many claimants? In fact, on both sides.
Vishnu, as you rightly said towards the end, neither alliance has declared a chief ministerial candidate because for both, not declaring a chief minister candidate is the pathway for unity of the alliance. Either for the Mahayuti or for the Agadi, it would create a problem if a chief ministerial candidate is announced. In the Agadi, save the UBT, which is talking about Uddhav Thackeray. The other two are saying this is a decision that will happen after the election, depending on who gets the highest number of seats. In the case of the Mahayuti, the BJP is making the argument that we are contesting the largest number of seats. And anyway, we have a chief minister now who does not belong to our party, but the alliance. And then the Shinde Sena says that our person is the chief minister. In very subtle ways, in both the alliances, the various parties are indirectly talking of the leadership issue without allowing that leadership issue to become the basis of any disunity in the party. So given the nature of alliance politics, both alliances have no choice but not to declare a chief minister candidate at this stage, because any such declaration is opening the gateway for disunity and discord within the alliance, as if the existing disunity and discord is not enough.
All right, I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. It's going to be a fascinating election in Maharashtra this time around. We've got Jharkhand elections as well. Assembly election after the national election. It's been one heck of a season. There's a lot of political activity coming up. We're out of time on Left, Right and Centre. I'll be back tomorrow at 9 p.m. right here on NDTV 24/7. Good night.